This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Hello and welcome to Beyond the Ballot Box. I'm Dashrin Johan. A few weeks ago, Parti Muda announced that they're in the midst of negotiating with Pakatan Harapan and that they will be competing in the Melaka state elections. An announcement that frankly got many young people who are looking for a change in Malaysian politics excited. If that happened, it would be the first time Parti Muda has competed in an elections in Malaysia. However, Muda's discussion with Harapan did not bear any fruit. And in a press conference, they said that they won't be competing in Melaka with Harapan because Harapan chose to field defectors. The nominations then proceeded. Parti Muda did not compete. They did not field a candidate. But the question is, why then didn't they field a candidate or two anyway in an election that's set to have multi-cornered battles everywhere? Joining me on the show to shed some light, share their side of the story, is co-founder of Parti Muda, Dr. Tanusha Francis Xavier. Welcome to the show, Tanusha. How are you?
Hi, I'm good. Thank you for having me, Dashrin.
All right. Let's get right into it. Now, as I just brought up in the introduction, Muda initially announced that they were going to compete, that you guys were going to compete at the Melaka state elections. Then later, it didn't fall through. What exactly changed in the few weeks?
Well, firstly, the negotiations with Pakatan Harapan was not going so well. And ultimately, when we got to know that they were intending to field defectors as candidates for Pakatan Harapan, that ultimately was what made our decision to not be a part of the Melaka state elections.
Right. So now what's unclear is then, you know, who ultimately decided to walk away. But based on what you're saying, it's not like Pakatan decided, you know, no, we are not going to, we're going to go back on our word or, you know, or whatever it may be, or, you know, discussions are not going well. We do not like, or we do not want to field anyone from Parti Muda, but it's more that Parti Muda didn't agree with Pakatan Harapan's stand to field two defectors from UMNO. Is that what you're saying?
It's honestly a little bit of both. Firstly, the negotiations and discussions were pretty much going back and forth in that we were not getting a clear answer of, okay, yes, like, you know, these are going to be the seats and so on. And we're talking about like 2-3 days before nomination day, you know, and we were not even sure if, you know, is this really even going to happen? And then ultimately when we got wind of, they were going to field the defectors. So our first sort of response to that is that, like, why are we even doing this to begin with? And by we, I mean the opposition, right? It does not make sense at all. The only reason why there's even a state election now is because of defectors and the repeated cycle of defectors. And here, again, we're putting them as our candidates, as the opposition's candidates. And how does that benefit us at all? And that is when YB Said Sadiq wrote his open letter to Pakatan Harapan, and Parti Muda as well had issued a statement on this. And after that, it became clear to us that they were not planning to give us any seats. And we also made it clear through our press conference that we are going to pull out of the elections because this has happened.
Now, Tanusha, how long was the negotiation process with Harapan? Is this something that has been, you know, ongoing for, you know, very, very long time? But then, of course, specifically Melaka, within perhaps the past couple of months or so. And how many seats from Parti Muda's standpoint, if y'all had it your way, if negotiations, you know, negotiations, you always meet in the middle if it goes through, right? So what sort of compromise were y'all hoping in terms of number of seats?
Right. So if you're talking about like our working relationship with Pakatan Harapan, that has obviously been going on for a long time. Like we saw this even when the SDs came up for Dato' Sri Anwar Ibrahim to become prime minister. And we pretty much rallied to the opposition together to get him the full 105 support from the opposition to get the SDs through to the Yang di-Pertuan Agong. So the working relationship with Pakatan Harapan has been going on for a while. The specific negotiations for the Melaka state elections, I think, pretty much began immediately when the state government collapsed. We had expressed our interests and the discussions had begun at that point.
So now, you know, with whatever that just happened, Parti Muda has pulled out of competing in the Melaka state elections. The next one is the Sarawak state elections, is also on the horizon. Are there any plans to compete there, or is it GE14? I'm looking forward straight to GE15, after this.
Yeah, so Dashan, the thing that is Muda's biggest disadvantage in all of this is that we remain to be an unregistered entity. By that, it really puts us at a disadvantage for any kind of negotiations or to run at all, because we will not be able to use our own logo, we will not be able to fundraise as a party, and basically we will not be able to promote our candidates as Muda at all. And that really puts us at a disadvantage. So as far as the Sarawak state elections are concerned, we have yet to discuss with our members and arrive at a decision on it. But I doubt that we would be going to the elections precisely because of these reasons that I've just expressed.
But GE15, are y'all... Okay, so GE15 for sure. That
yeah, I'm a political party, and I hope that by GE15, this issue of our party's registration would be resolved. We're hoping for a hearing in January on this, in our case against the minister, the Home Affairs Minister. And we're, of course, hoping for a positive outcome and so that we could finally move forward with our work as a political party.
Right. So, as we all say, I think everyone, regardless if you support Parti Muda or not, if you are someone who believes in clean and fair elections, I think everyone is hoping that Muda will get registered. But as we say, you know, we hope for the best, prepare for the worst. What happens if, you know, we go towards, like you said, you know, after the January hearing and all of that, it still doesn't get registered for whatever reasons? The ROS always seems to be having new reasons for, you know, not being able to register Muda. If that continues, then what next? Is it, you know, like just like Melaka state elections, or what has been implied in the past, discussions with Parti Warisan, perhaps? Is that still on the table?
Warisan has been very open in expressing their interest to work with us. And in our part as Muda, even if we become a registered entity, hopefully, fingers crossed, sometime in January or February of next year, even if we are a registered entity, we are still committed to working with all of our allies in the opposition, including Pakatan Harapan, Warisan, Perjuang, and whatever other party that will come up during this time, including PSM, of course. So we remain committed to working with all of our allies, and seat negotiations will, of course, take place for the GE15 for that.
So with that in mind, you know, in our current political climate where, you know, it's messy, it's fluid, things are changing and all of that, what if Pakatan Harapan chooses to field defectors at GE15 as well? For Melaka state elections, y'all have made it clear, you know, one of the reasons y'all say, like, you know, this we are going to pull out of it is couldn't come to a compromise. They wanted to field defectors. Y'all don't agree with that principle. So y'all pull out. GE15, it's entirely possible that Pakatan Harapan here and there, they choose to field defectors. I think most people who are Pakatan Harapan supporters, just sentiment from social media and all seems to suggest that nobody likes the idea of Pakatan Harapan fielding defectors. But if they do that, then how would you process that piece of information? Where do you go from there?
Yeah, this is a very new concern for us, right? It has never been the concern up to this point. But again, that is where the real need for us to be a registered party comes in. Because if that situation were to occur and we are a registered party, then we can say, okay, Pakatan Harapan, if that is your decision, then I'm afraid that we can't work together for this election and Muda will stand on our own and contest.
Okay,
but so we hope that it does not come to that.
Right. So let's get into that, because I think that's very interesting, this idea of competing on your own. Because, you know, you recently took a slight jab at Harapan / DAP youth chief Howard Lee, who admitted openly that while he disagrees with some of Harapan's, you know, top leadership's positions, from his end, from their end, they thought, you know what, it's best to just comply, akur, as they said. You said, in response to that, you said this is why we as in Malaysia needs a separate party muda, you know, instead of just joining the youth wings of existing parties. You said you don't want to just comply, you know, blindly, or you don't want to just akur. So with that in mind, why not compete at Melaka against Pakatan Harapan, Barisan Nasional and Perikatan Nasional?
Right. Firstly, because again, Dashran, I keep saying this again and again, because this is our biggest setback. By not being a registered entity, we cannot feel our candidates as muda. Mm-hmm. So they would be going in as independents, right? Our members from Melaka and so on. And given that specifically for this Melaka state elections, all the more, that there is no ground campaigning and so on. So that makes it difficult for us to promote our candidates. But never mind all of that. We could still go all out, do our best. And it's fine even if we lose badly, but at least we lose on principle, right? That is not really the main concern. But there is the other possibility of us actually doing fairly well, but not good enough to win the seat. And that ends up in split votes and the opposition loses as a whole. And that is not really... this was a discussion that we had, multiple discussions that we had at depth with our members and the leadership in the party and so on. And we ultimately decided that, like, look, costing the opposition's victory as a whole is not something that, you know, that we want to desire. So let us, for this Melaka state elections, take a step back on principle. And, you know, we just stick to our principles and not participate in the elections.
I'm guessing you're going to give a similar answer to my next question, but I'm going to ask anyway, because I think it's a slightly different question. Why didn't Muda compete? Yeah, I mean, you know, not just, it's one thing to just compete in Melaka against Harapan in like all the seats or whatever, but I think what many people, and this is something that the criticisms against Muda, which I think most would agree that there is some fairness to the criticism, is that because there was a lot of hope, I think, for Parti Muda to compete, right? And one of the things that a lot of people ask is, if you're not happy with the idea that Pakatan Harapan was accepting defectors and fielding defectors, or frogs as they say, why didn't Muda compete against the defectors just in those two constituencies, go all out, compete against them? It would have been a golden opportunity to show the world, that a certain set of ideals and principles are worth fighting for, regardless of the end result, especially in those two constituencies. Because if the results ended up being very close, or if things went Muda's way and Muda ended up winning in one or two of those seats, it would have been a massive, massive statement. Is it more to do with just, you know, the very logistics and practical side of things, where it's like, okay, if you're going to put one, you know, our candidates there, but we're not working with Harapan, so which logo do we use? Do we just use a random DICE logo or a Kipas logo, and then nobody's going to know, things like that? Is it more of those kinds of concerns?
Definitely those were some of our concerns as well, because we don't even get to decide what logo that we get to put in, right? And ultimately, we would not be able to field them as Muda candidates and neither promote them on the ground. So that is where, if we were a registered entity, if Parti Muda, you know, could contest as Muda, our candidates would be there right now. And all of our members and the entire party's support efforts would be there right now in the Melaka state elections, and we would be contesting. And believe me, it is very, very frustrating for us as well as a political party to have to sit on the sidelines and watch and only criticize on social media. But at this point, this was the best decision that we could make as a political party.
On the show with me today is Dr. Tanusha Francis Xavier, co-founder of Parti Muda. After a break, I'll be asking her about their G15 plans. We'll be back with more on Beyond the Ballot Box, BFM 89.9. Welcome back to Beyond the Ballot Box. I'm Dashrin Johan, and on the show with me today is Dr. Tanusha Francis Xavier. She's one of the co-founders of Parti Muda. And we're talking about why Parti Muda opted out of the Melaka state elections and what their plans are moving forward. So, Tanusha, how important is it to compete as Muda, as in using that branding? Of course, it's in an ideal world, you want to achieve that. But even if, you know, like right now, negotiations with Pakatan Harapan went well, you wouldn't be able to compete as Muda anyway, right? You're just, so basically the idea is to compete as Pakatan Harapan candidates?
If we were to be working with Pakatan Harapan, then we would, yes, be using their flag. That's right. And to answer your questions on, it's not just a branding issue, Dashrin. It's also about for the voters to recognize our candidates, because in this particular elections that ground campaigning is not allowed, then the only way perhaps that we could promote our candidates is through social media. And that is really not that effective, because we can't exactly operate on the assumption that all voters would rely on social media for the information. How would we be able to promote our candidates? We can't even wear our Muda t-shirt to go on the ground. We had like a simple press conference with 5 people and we got slammed with a fine for it. So how do we operate? How are we going to promote our candidates on the ground? And you know, so those were some of the concerns that we were discussing.
Right. Now, Tanusha, you've been a very pointed, you've provided some very pointed and strong criticisms towards Pakatan Harapan. Some agree with your criticism, other people don't agree with your criticisms. I think that's normal. But my question is, why? I think the thing that people, especially about some of what you said recently, but even Parti Muda as a whole, right? Why do you expect Pakatan Harapan to give you seats? In the sense that, why and how does it benefit Pakatan Harapan to give Parti Muda seats instead of their own party members' seats?
Right. So I think firstly, we do need to correct the assumption that there is an ownership of seats in Malaysia. That is not how the democracy works at all. The whole point of us negotiating and discussing in Pakatan Harapan is because we're working together as the opposition bloc, just like when Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin resigned as Prime Minister, and when Dato' Sri Anwar Ibrahim needed the numbers to get through, and we all collectively rallied together to make sure that he got the numbers. We were working as the opposition bloc as a whole, and that is the spirit of which we entered the negotiations with. And that is why we were also confident to enter the negotiations and to run in the state elections, even though we were not a registered entity, because we were under the assumption of like, hey, our allies are there. So it's fine that, you know, Hamza Zainuddin wants to pick on us and, you know, not give us the registration and so on. But that doesn't matter because, you know, our allies are here, like in the opposition bloc. If, for example, if Warisan and Pejuang had decided to contest in the elections, then discussions would have then been with Pakatan Harapan, Warisan, Pejuang and us, and whichever other party that decides to come into the elections as well. So that's the spirit that we entered in, because we, as Muda, firmly believe in a united opposition, and thus we discuss and negotiate with our allies.
And you brought up something twice already, and it's something very interesting, because even Syed Sadeh, YB Syed Sadeh, brought it up. I've spoken to other Parti Muda members over the past few months, especially since, you know, when every Harapan side was scrambling to get numbers to get the majority, to become the new prime minister and all of those things to form the new government. This was after Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin resigned. And what you brought up is Muda played a role in helping get that 105, in uniting the opposition. Right. What role did Parti Muda, or perhaps YB Syed Sadeh, or together play in uniting the opposition after Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin resigned?
Right. So our role, or rather YB Syed Sadeh's role in this, is basically like what I've mentioned in uniting the opposition, that when we as the opposition had to come up with a candidate for prime minister, And we basically discussed with Warisan and Pujuang and PH and said, like, okay, let us all, you know, put aside our differences. It's very clear that Dato' Sri Anwar Ibrahim is the leader of the opposition bloc and should have the first right to be the prime ministerial candidate. And in order for us to have a chance at, you know, getting back the government and restoring the people's mandate and so on, let us all make sure that, you know, the SDs are for only one name, and that is YB, and that is Dato' Sri Anwar Ibrahim himself. And of course, Warisan and Pejuang got on board, and we managed to get the 105 for Dato' Sri Anwar Ibrahim to start off with, to get the numbers that he needed.
All right. So now let's just switching gears a little bit. One thing that I think, again, you know, you see this being questioned very frequently, and that is of Muda's ideology. Because when Muda, Parti Muda was, when just formed, basically what everyone said, all the co-founders basically said, is we're not going to have a manifesto, that's fine, but we're not going to, you know, have like a list of ideologies, one pop, 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 just list everything down. And the reason is because y'all didn't want to just say a bunch of stuff and then not, you know, end up fulfilling it and all. And from my understanding, what y'all wanted to do is go on the ground, talk to everybody, talk to the technocrats, talk to the farmers, talk to the B40, talk to the middle-class people, talk to everyone in as many constituencies as possible, and especially young people, and find out what their struggles are, and then sort of form a basis of what y'all are fighting for from there. How has it been since the formation of the party? Do y'all have a concrete idea of what exactly Parti Muda stands for yet? Do y'all have a very clear-cut ideology yet?
In terms of what we stand for, our core principles, that we have actually had it from the very beginning. It's even on our website as present, you know, things along the lines of that we've been saying about bringing a new brand of politics, about making sure that this party is open to all Malaysians, regardless of race, religion, etc., in terms of fighting for economic justice, right, and living with dignity, minimum wage, so on, democratic representation to make sure that there is participation of women and marginalized communities in our party and so on. That is up there, and that has been upfront. What we have been working on has been on our policy platforms, and that is where the discussions have been ongoing with our members and the grassroots as well. It has taken a bit long due to obvious reasons. We have not been able to, you know, the pandemic and so on, but we're actually close to completing and releasing our policy platform. I think perhaps like over the next couple of weeks, we would put it up on our website already.
Okay, that's exciting. I look forward to having a look at that, because it's something that a lot of us have been waiting for. Now, right. Tanusha, when I interviewed Amir, I think it was early this year. I can't remember exactly, but you know, I asked him this question. It's something that I haven't asked you. Why did you decide to join Parti Muda? What convinced you? Because you didn't just join it. You are one of the co-founders of it. So why did you decide to start Parti Muda along with YB Said Sade, Lim Wee Jiat, Amir, so many others? What convinced you, and what's the mission? What has been your mission?
Right. So like earlier, Dashrin, when you brought up my criticism towards YB Howard's statement on having to comply with leadership's decisions and so on. And that is what drew me to this, because I had an opportunity alongside the many other talented young people to actually form this party the way that we want to be. And that was even what enabled us to, you know, okay, change our position from participating in elections where there, you know, defectors are being fielded and so on. That was against our principles, that we were able to like, okay, this is not what we stand for. This is, you know, let's withdraw from this election. And we were able to do that. We were able to stick to our principles because we are the decision makers. So that is one example of how I am able to be myself in this political party, in that I have a say, I have a voice. Whereas if I were part of an existing structure that has been around for decades and so on, there would be perhaps a more rigid structure in place. And, you know, I would not, we as the members would not be able to voice our opinion or shape the party in the direction that we would like it to go. And so that, and even like what we discussed earlier about our policy platform and so on, that we are able to do it the way that we wanted to in terms of properly engaging the ground, talking to experts, getting feedbacks from, you know, all different sectors of society and so on, and come up with a policy platform that like, okay, this is what we believe in and so on, instead of just, you know, hiring experts and getting them to draw up something and, okay, like this is what we stand for. But we got to do it right, basically. So that is what drew me into this.
Now, speaking of this idea of complying and all, right, I think many people have this assumption. I've read some of these assumptions on Twitter. So perhaps you can clear the air for me. How much of Party Muda is actually a group effort between all the co-founders and fellow members? And how much of it, because is it just Syed Sade telling y'all what to do? Because there is this assumption that Party Muda is just a Syed Sade show, YB Syed Sade show, and, you know, ultimately y'all just fall in line and just follow what he says.
No, that's not what happened at all. No, I'm laughing because, you know, he wishes that that were the case, but like, no, that's nowhere near what happens. So in terms of our decision-making process is that, like most parties, we have our central committee, which comprises of our co-founders, our top leaderships, and also all of our state leaders. So that is pretty much the highest, I wouldn't say decision-making body, but okay, let's just call it that. Mm-hmm. And so for all the decisions that we make, the state leaders then consult the parliament heads, who then in turn consult the members of the constituencies. So for whatever decisions that we intend to make going forward, or even in terms of our policy platforms, for example, so the decisions take part in each level. And we also, of course, have discussions on a larger platform in terms of having large focus group discussions and so on. And okay, what do you all think? And so on. And even for me as a vice president, I sometimes like just have meetings with all of the women in Muda to say, okay, how do you think this decision will affect us as women? Or what can we do better about it? And so on. So that is how we've been able to have open engagements within the party.
Now, Muda, you know, one thing, like I think it really got people excited since the formation is the emphasis on, you know, you want to be a disruptive force, want to change the old style of politicking, you know, gone with the so-called dinosaurs who have been fighting and fighting since the 70s. Until now, they're still fighting and all of that. And where has that brought, you know, our country? You want to platform young people, change the style of politics and whatnot. But at the same time, Muda has received a lot of criticisms in the past and present for seemingly cozying up with people that represents politics of the old, such as Tun Dr. Mahathir, and especially, you know, the likes of Dato' Sri Najib, who is now a convicted felon. How would you respond to, you know, this idea that Muda is constantly cozying up with these figures?
Yeah, I think my honest response to that would be that the only difference is that Muda has been upfront and transparent about our discussions with all of the political leaders. All of these individuals, whether it's Tun Mahathir or Najib and so on, all of the meetings and so on, we post the pictures and we say like, oh, these are the people that we have met and so on. In politics and in democracy, especially when it comes to lobbying for a bill or agenda, we have to lobby and discuss with all elected representatives. Whether we like them or not is a different issue, but in terms of getting a bill pushed forward, the lobbying happens. And these discussions are had by everyone with everyone, including members from Pakatan Harapan and so forth. The difference is that perhaps that we are transparent about it. And like, and I'm sure you're aware as well, Dashun, that like in terms of getting criticisms of our bipartisanship and so on, but let's not forget that that is what ultimately led to the MOU between Pakatan Harapan and the current government, which includes the likes of Najib as well.
Yeah, and that bipartisanship is what led to Undi 18 being thing, right? Yeah, the constitutional amendment. So, okay, one last question, Tanusha, before we wrap this conversation up. GE 15, you said for sure You know, that's you'll be going for it regardless. Malacca didn't happen. That's fine. G15, y'all will be competing. How many seats roughly are Muda planning to compete in? Are y'all planning to compete in Adun seats, MP seats, or both? Of course, YB Said Sadeh will be competing in as an MP, but the rest of your party members. And also, are there discussions on certain regions that Muda will be focusing on, regions in Malaysia, or is it just, you know, it's going to be spread out across the country?
Dashrin, honestly, like, we have not had the discussions at this depth. Mm. You know, what we are currently doing right now is working on all of our states and constituencies and making sure that our grassroots are empowered, continue with the service politics that we have been practicing and so on. We are currently gearing up for GE15 because it's probably going to be soon. Next year probably, right? And so the discussions will need to take place. And again, once again, in order for us to determine how many seats and where and so on, we will once again need to sit together with our allies in the opposition bloc and come up with a plan, right? Mm, to right. make sure that we deliver the win for the opposition and for the people as a whole. So that is planned thus far. I'll keep you updated.
All right. We will definitely be talking to you more as we head towards GE15, you as well as your fellow co-founders of Parti Muda. On that note, thank you so much for joining me today, Tanusha.
Thank you, Dashrin, for having me.
I've been speaking with Dr. Tanusha Francis Xavier. She's the co-founder of Parti Muda. If you missed any part of our conversation, you can check out the podcast on the BFM app, bfm.my, or pretty much wherever you get your podcasts from. I'm Dashrin Johan, and this has been Beyond the Ballot Box, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.